This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين Inshallah, in today's class we are going to study the name of Allah Al-Hasib. Al-Hasib means the reckoner or the sufficer, the one who is enough, who is sufficient for his slaves. And also Al-Hasib means the one who calls people to account, the one who holds them accountable for their deeds. Now this name, Al-Hasib, is mentioned three times in the Quran. We see, for example, in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 86, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. That indeed Allah is ever hasib over everything, meaning he has kept everything in a certain count. So he is able to count everything. He knows the number of everything. And then we learn in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 6, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. And sufficient is Allah as hasib, meaning as one who will hold people accountable. And then we have in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah number 39, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Again, that Allah is enough as hasib, meaning as one who will hold people accountable. And then we see in the Sunnah as well, in a beautiful hadith in Sahih Bukhari, and it's a hadith which teaches us something very important. In this hadith, we learned that there was a man who praised another man on his face, meaning he began to really praise him in front of him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَيْحَكَ قَطَعْتَ عُنُقَ صَاحِبِكَ. Woe to you, you have broken the neck of your brother. Meaning when you praise someone on their face, then what happens is that you're actually working against them. You are not really helping them. You are, in a way, working against them. Why? Because your praise might corrupt their intention. And your praise might make them think that they are perfect and that they don't need any improvement. So it doesn't mean that we don't praise people at all, but there should be a limit. And there should be, when we do praise people, then there should be a certain way in which we praise them. We should not glorify them on their faces so that, they begin to think extremely highly of himself and they begin to feel arrogant and their intention becomes corrupt. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if one of you must praise his brother, meaning if you must praise someone, then you should say, أَحْسِبُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. I think such and such. Like, for example, I think that you have been working really hard. I think that you have really paid attention to detail over here. I think that you have, you have given all of your effort to this particular thing. So say, I think, أحسبُ. Don't pass an absolute judgment that you are the best, right? Or you are gorgeous, or you are like this or like that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that وَحَسِيبُهُ اللَّهِ, that his hasib is actually Allah. Meaning Allah is the one who has the right to give final judgment on people. We don't have that authority to make that final call and to put these labels on people and to say that this one is the best and this one is the worst, etc. This is not our place. وَحَسِيبُهُ Allah. Allah is the one who will hold people accountable because he is the only one who knows the reality of people. So we see that this name is mentioned in the Quran and it is also mentioned in the Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also described Allah azza wa jal as Hasib. Now let's look at the meaning of the word Hasib first before we go into the meaning of this name with regard to Allah azza wa jal. Now when we look at the word Hasib, first of all, remember that the word Hasib is min siyagh al-mubalagha, meaning it is a word and its structure shows, the form of the word shows that there is hyperbole here. So Hasib is the one who is ever attributed with the word that can come from the root letters Hasinba, basically. So basically the word can be derived from one of three words, meaning the source of the word Hasib can be one of these three words. And what are these three words? The first is Hisab. So Hasib is one who takes Hisab. All right. What is Hisab? Hisab is to count, all right, to count the number of things. And it is also to clarify the worth of those things. So this is why the word hisab is also used for taking account. Because when you take account of something, of someone, for example, of the answers that they have given, right? You are not only counting the numbers, right? You are also giving a certain mark. You are also giving a certain number to each question, right? That the student has entered in their test. So you are, by giving those numbers, by giving those marks, what are you doing? You are saying that the student's effort is worth this much, right? It's 80%, or it's 90%, or it's 98%, or it's 50%, etc. So hisab means to count, to number, and also to calculate, and to clarify the worth of things. And so Hasib is one who takes account, the reckoner, and the one who keeps count. Secondly, Hasib can also be derived from the word Hasab, all right? And Hasab means, literally, it means the worth or the value of something. And the word is used for nobility. All right. So, for example, it is said that that hasab is a sharaf wa thabit. It is the dignity or the nobility that someone has because of their ancestors, right? Because of their lineage, because of their blood. So, hasab is a person's is someone's worth, their dignity, their honor. Why? Because of who they are. And this can be because of someone's lineage, because of whose child they are, because of what family they're from, or because of the status that they hold in a given society or in a given place. So Hasib is dhu hasab, meaning the one who has a lot of hasab, meaning the one who is characterized by a lot of respect and honor and dignity. And then thirdly, the word hasib can also be derived from the word hasb. And hasb is sufficiency. So it is said, hasbuk, meaning this is sufficient for you. All right? This is enough for you. So for example, if a student is reading before the teacher and the teacher says hasbuk, this means this is enough. You can stop now. All right? So hasib is one who is sufficient and one who gives what is sufficient. And when it is said to someone that hasibuka Allah, that your hasib is Allah, like we learned earlier that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that hasibuhu Allah, that Allah is his hasib, then this can mean one of four things. It can mean that hasibuka Allah, meaning Allah knows what you are doing, okay? Because hasib is who? One who counts and one who calculates. And only someone who knows is able to count, right? For example, if you don't even know the things that have to be counted, you are never going to count them. So counting something implies that you have prior knowledge of those things. So حسيبك الله means, first of all, that Allah knows you. All right. Secondly, it is said that حسيبك الله means that Allah has power over you. Allah is able to, grasp you, able to give you what you deserve for what you are doing. And then حسيبك الله also means that Allah is enough for you, that Allah will help you. He is sufficient for you. And it also means, fourthly, that Allah will hold you to account. So it has a number of meanings. And this is why when we're talking about the name Hasib, we can see all of these meanings, expressed by the name Hasib. It doesn't just mean that Allah is one who will hold people accountable, but it means, a number of things. So for example, Sheikh Sa'di, he said that Hasib is the one who knows his slaves. He has knowledge of his slaves. And he is sufficient for those who rely upon him. And he recompenses his slaves with good and evil according to his wisdom and according to his knowledge of their deeds, of all of their deeds, their minutest, smallest deeds, and also their deeds which are very obvious. So because he has knowledge of them, he is able to recompense them with exactly what they deserve. And he is sufficient for them. And Sheikh Sa'di also said that Al-Hasib is the one who is Al-Raqib, meaning the one who watches over his slaves. Because again, you cannot hold someone accountable until and unless you know what they're doing. Right? So he watches over his slaves and he is going to recompense them for their deeds with his justice and his favor. And he said, Al-Hasib is the one who is sufficient for his slaves in their worries and their griefs. Meaning when people are ailing, when people are hurting, when people are sad, they are worried, they're afraid, that Allah is sufficient for them in that situation of theirs. And he is especially sufficient for those who rely upon him. Because Allah says in the Quran, whoever relies upon Allah, then Allah is sufficient for him. Meaning Allah will suffice that person in his affairs, in his matter. Meaning whatever that the person is struggling with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sufficient for him in that regard. So these are some meanings of the name Hasib. Now let's look at them one by one. First of all, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hasib, this means that he is one who has kept count of everything. الَّذِي أَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. So there is nothing that exists except that it has a number near Allah, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has numbered it. He has counted it. He knows about it. We learn in Surah An-Nisa, verse 86, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. That indeed Allah is over everything a hasib, meaning he has counted everything and he has preserved everything. So he has preserved the deeds of his slaves. Our deeds are counted, they're numbered, meaning they have been preserved. Whether those deeds are very small, very minute, they appear to be very insignificant, or they are significant, right? Allah is hasib over everything, meaning he has enumerated everything. We learn in Surah Al-Jinn, verse number 28, that وَأَحَاطَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. That Allah has encompassed everything that is with people, and وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. And he has enumerated everything in number. Meaning everything is counted with him. There is nothing that is ignored, nothing that is left out. We learn in Surah Maryam, ayah number 93, that in kullu man fis samawati wal ardi illa atir rahmani abda. That there is nothing, no one in the skies and the earth except that it will come to Ar-Rahman as a slave, meaning everything is a slave before Allah. It is owned by Allah. In the next verse, it is said, لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ. Certainly he has enumerated them. He has calculated them. وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّ. And he has numbered every single one of them. So everything is accounted for. Nothing in this existence is lost, is random, is an accident. No. In Surah Taha, verse number 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Musa alayhi salam said, لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى. My Lord does not make a mistake, nor does he forget. Allah does not forget. We forget what we did, what we said, what we thought, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not. So we learn in Surah Mujadala, ayah 6, أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ. Allah has enumerated all of it and they have forgotten it. And this is so true. We forget the things we have spoken. We forget the commitments that we have made. We forget, you know, the words that we have said. But just because we have forgotten, it doesn't mean that they don't exist. أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ. Allah has enumerated all of them. He has preserved all of them. In Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah 47, we learned that on the Day of Judgment, the scales will be set up, right? And then it is said, فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. And no soul will be wronged anything, in any way whatsoever, not even the least bit. So much so that وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا. That if there is something that is the size of a mustard seed, we will bring it forth. We will bring it forth. Something as tiny as a mustard seed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to bring it forth. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. And sufficient are we as accounters. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold people accountable, and the account that he takes is sufficient. Because you see, sometimes it happens that you go to someone, you go to one, accountant, and, you know, they calculate your taxes and they give you such a huge number, right? And you say, no, this person may have made a mistake. Let me go to someone else, right? You go to someone else and they calculate your taxes. They give you a different number, right? So people have different ways, right? And people make different errors. And people, they use their biases, their faulty judgment. And so the results that people give are not always accurate. The calculations that people make are not always accurate. But وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. What Allah has numbered, what Allah has listed, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, there is no error in that whatsoever. And so Allah is hasib, meaning he has kept count of everything, including our deeds, the smallest of them and the most insignificant of them, and also the most hidden and discreet and private of those deeds, and also those deeds which are public, those that are good and also those that are bad. We learn in a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this hadith is in Sahih Muslim, that, O my servants, it is your deeds that I am preserving for you. أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ. And then I will recompense you for your deeds. So he who finds good, let him praise Allah. And he who finds other than that, then let him blame no one but himself. So all of our deeds are being preserved. And remember that nothing is being left out. Because we learn in Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 49, that when the Book of Deeds is going to be laid open, some people will be afraid. They will say, يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. That what is with this book? It doesn't leave out anything small or big. It has encompassed, it has enumerated everything. Everything. You see, sometimes there are certain remarks, some comments that we make, some gestures that we make, and we don't think that they're a big deal or that they're very significant. Or certain things we do without realizing how significant or they may be. But it is because of those deeds, because of which there can be such a huge difference on the Day of Judgment for that person. For example, we learned the story of that woman who fed a thirsty dog, right? Who fed water to a thirsty dog. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciated that deed of that prostitute. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her, right? We learn about how once Aisha radiallahu anha, she was a bit upset and feeling jealous, and she made a hand gesture to point to the short height of one of her co-wives, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarked that this is something so bitter that if it were put in a huge body of water, it would change its taste, right? That even though it seems to be just a gesture, but it is actually very, very bitter. And this is something that we really need to pay attention to, because sometimes, we say things and there are small words, right? Or there are small gestures, some body language, but it is these little things that can hurt other people so much. That they get fed up, they reach a boiling point, literally, that they cannot handle, that they cannot tolerate us anymore. So be careful about even the expressions that you use, even the small words that you use to correct people, to point out people's mistakes. Every mistake does not have to be pointed out. Every thing does not have to be highlighted. Learn to overlook the errors of people, because the book of deeds is such that it leaves nothing out, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hasib. And while this is something that should make us very careful, it makes us afraid, at the same time, this is something that also inspires hope in us, gives us a whole lot of encouragement, because nothing at all is lost, right? Every deed is counted. Even the smallest of deeds are counted. There's a beautiful narration in which we learn about how Tamim ad-Dari, once someone visited him, and Tamim ad-Dari, radiallahu anhu, he was cleaning out the grain that he was going to feed his horse, all right? And he was cleaning it out. He was sifting, sorting it by hand. And when you're doing it by hand, you have to pick out all the pebbles and the tiny grains of the tiny pebbles, etc. You have to pick them out by hand. It's a very tedious job to do. So he was doing that for his horse. So the person who was visiting him asked him that, why are you doing this yourself? Why don't you have someone else do this, right? Yes, it is very unusual to find a man, a very important man, doing something like that. So anyway, he said that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that there is no Muslim who sorts out, who cleans out the grain for his horse, right? And then he feeds it, except that he will be rewarded for every grain that he feeds his horse. Every grain, every single one of them. Allahu Akbar. And when you're sorting it, right, it can be so annoying, right, that I have to touch every one of them or go through so many of them. But you are rewarded for every single grain, every single seed. And, sometimes we get really fed up with work which is of this nature, tedious and time consuming. It requires attention, and we feel like we could be doing something else instead. And there are some things that we have to do. They're part of life, right? And these are chores, and they're boring, right? But if you're doing it, with the right intention, even if, for example, you are cleaning out such food, for example, rice to prepare for your family, right? So that you can prepare it and feed your family. That is also a good deed. Imagine if you're being rewarded for feeding a horse, don't you think you will be rewarded for feeding your own family? Of course, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is vast. So every grain is counted, every effort is counted. In another hadith, we learned that if somebody keeps a horse in the way of Allah, and the only reason why the person has that horse is so that he can use that horse in the way of Allah to do things for the cause of Allah. And he does this with iman in Allah. And he does this with hope, belief in the promise of Allah. Then that person will be rewarded on the day of judgment for what the horse ate and what the horse drank, and also for the dung and the urine of the horse. Allahu Akbar. What does that mean? That means that you kept that horse, and of course you had to, spend from your pocket to feed the horse, to provide, fresh water to it. And then when you're keeping horse, you also have to clean, the area that the horse is staying in, etc. So every moment that you spend taking care of that horse, you will be rewarded for it because you have that horse for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? And likewise, for example, if you have a car or anything, a phone, that your intention is to use that for the sake of Allah, then yes, use it for the sake of Allah, right? But then also realize that whatever time, energy, resources you are putting into it, they are not being wasted. Every single thing is being counted. It is being recorded. It is being preserved. Every step that you take in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Even that is something that a person is rewarded for. In a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, we learn about how when a person is making tawaf, he's walking around the Kaaba, right? He's making tawaf. Then for every step that he takes, right? مَا رَفَعَ رَجُلٌ قَدَمًا وَلَا وَضَعَهَا. A person does not lift up a foot and he does not put it down. So every time that he lifts it up and every time that he puts it down. So basically, the fact that you are, stepping forward, and the fact that your foot is, landing, and sometimes really taking a step even, it requires so much effort when you're making tawaf, right? But for that, we learn in hadith, إِلَّا كُتِبَتْ لَهُ عَشْرُ حَسَنَاتٍ. 10 good deeds are recorded for that. وَحُطَّ عَنْهُ عَشْرُ سَيِّئَاتٍ. And 10 sins are erased. وَرُفِعَ لَهُ عَشْرُ دَرَجَاتٍ. And 10 ranks are raised for that person. So when Allah is Hasib, this means that nothing that people do is wasted by Allah Azza wa Jal. As long as a person does it for the sake of Allah, in the way that is pleasing to Allah, then every deed is preserved. Nothing small is ignored. And at the same time, we must remember that when we do something wrong, let us not think that it is going to be forgotten or ignored or it doesn't matter. No, every deed, big and small, matters because Allah is Hasib. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hasib, this means that He has measured everything and He gives to people, to His slaves, what is beyond their ability to measure and count. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has counted everything and He knows the number of everything, right? And He has determined the worth of everything. But that ability to count, that ability to calculate is beyond us. And this is why we're told, for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah 212, وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that Allah provides sustenance to whomever He wants without any measure, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, without any measure. Yani that measure is beyond the ability of people to count or to enumerate, to understand. Yani we are not able to count the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the exact number of things that He has given us. Right? وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to list the blessings of Allah, you wouldn't be able to count them. You wouldn't be able to number them. This is beyond our ability. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, right? Because He is Hasib. It's beyond our ability, not beyond His ability. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He gives without hisab, this also means that He gives in such a way that is so generous, like someone who does not fear being called to account spends. You know, for example, if you're given some money and you're told, go buy this and that, then you are very careful because you have been entrusted with that amount of money and you only use that money for the things that you have been asked to purchase, right? Because you know that when you go back, you have to give a receipt, right? You have to file for a claim. However, when there are no restrictions, then how do you spend? You spend without care. You spend generously, right? You spend without any fear that someone's going to question you about your spending decisions. So it implies extreme generosity, right? So بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, generously. And بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ also means without people expecting it. So truly, the blessings, the gifts of Allah, they are beyond our ability to count and number them. In Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that indeed, the people who are patient will be given their reward without any measure. And they will not be able to count them. They will not be able to count the reward. They will not even be able to remember all of it because it's so much. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. In Surah Ghafir, Ayah 40, we learn, مَنْ عَمِلَ سَيِّئَةً فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا. Whoever does something evil, then he will not be recompensed except with its equivalent. Meaning a person will only get the equivalent of the bad deed that he performed. But in contrast, وَمَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, whoever does something righteous, مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى, whether that person is a male or a female. But there is one condition, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, they must be a believer, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ, then those are the people who will enter paradise, يُرْزَقُونَ فِيهَا بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, and they will be provided therein without any measure. اللهم اجعلنا منهم. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hasib, this also means that He is the one who will hold people accountable. Meaning He is Muhasib, the one who will call people to account. So we learn in Surah Ghashiyah that إِنَّ إِلَيْنَا إِيَابَهُمْ, indeed to us is their return. All people will return to Allah Azza wa Jal. We are going back to Allah. And then it is said, ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا حِسَابَهُمْ. Then it is on us, meaning it is our duty, incumbent upon us, necessary, due upon Allah, that He will take their hisab. He will hold people accountable. And yes, every single one of us, even though we are so many, but it is not difficult for Allah to hold people accountable. In Surah Ghafir, Ayah 17, we learn, الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ. Today, every person will be recompensed for what it earned. لَا غُلْمَ الْيَوْمَ. There is no injustice today. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Indeed, Allah is swift in taking the account. What does it mean by that? That Allah is swift in taking the account. Meaning, it is not difficult for Allah to hold people accountable. It is not difficult for Allah to ask people, to question people about their deeds. And if we have to, you know, for example, as a parent even, when you have to manage so many things related to your children, there are things where you fall short. There are things where you say, you know what, I don't care. I can't keep an eye on everything. Right, I do not have the capacity to hold them accountable, to hold them responsible for everything. So there are so many things that you ignore, you let go of, and you tell yourself, I have to pick my battles, because you only have so much capacity, right? And the other thing is that there are times when you get exhausted, where you get tired. So or we have our biases that we develop over time, because of which the way that we check things, it changes over time. So a lot of times what happens with people is, for example, a teacher, when she's marking papers, right, test papers, at the beginning, you know, she's being very strict, and towards the end, she becomes very lenient, because she sees that, oh, everyone struggled to understand this question. Right? Or at the beginning, very lenient. And by the end, she's getting really frustrated that how come, you know, most of the people did not do well. So then she becomes a little vengeful. So she's not fair anymore. And she might be getting tired and bored with all of that, you know, test paper checking. So we have great difficulty in holding people responsible, right? In taking account. Right, it's a very tedious thing to do. It requires a lot of attention, a lot of focus, a lot of calculations, and we get tired of that. And if we have to, check a few things, it gets tiring. Imagine, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He will hold all people accountable. He is able to take the hisab of the entire creation, and take the hisab of every deed of theirs, every single deed of theirs. And people live lives of what, 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, 120, long time ago, hundreds of years. Allahu Akbar, inna Allah sari'ul hisab. Indeed, Allah is swift in taking account. It is neither difficult for Him to take people's account, nor does it take Him long. And we think that the hisab, the day of judgment, is far. But it is not far. We learn in Surah Al-Anbiya, the first verse, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ. The people's hisab, their accounting is drawing near. It is very near. In Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 62, we learn, ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ أَلَا لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَهُوَ أَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ. That they will be returned to Allah, who is their true Mawla. Unquestionably, to Him belongs the judgment. He is the one who has the right to judge people. وَهُوَ أَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ. And He is the most swift of those who call people to account. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to take hisab of every little deed. And He is able to question us about every little deed. He's able to give us what we deserve to compensate us for every action of ours. You see, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 86, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ. When you are greeted with a greeting, meaning when someone greets you, when someone says salam to you, right? They say hello to you. Then what should you do? فَحَيُّ. Then you should greet them back. How you should return the greeting? In what way? بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا. With a greeting that is better than it. So for example, someone says assalamu alaykum to you, you say wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. All right, you add and may the mercy of Allah be on you. Aw rudduha, or at least return it, meaning if you cannot say wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, you can at least say wa alaykum assalam, right? At least return it. And then it is said, inna Allah kana ala kulli shay'in hasiba. Indeed, Allah is over everything a hasib. He counts everything and he's able to hold you accountable for everything. He's able to compensate you for every deed of yours. And this is something so important for us to remember. You see, when you just say, assalamu alaikum, right? We learn in hadith about how when you say, assalamu alaikum, you get 10 good deeds. But when you say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you get 20 good deeds. And when you say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you get 30 good deeds, right? So Allah is hasib, right? Meaning he notices and he knows about every effort of yours, right? Every single deed of yours. And he's able to compensate you for every deed of yours. And also we learn that when Allah is hasib, that he is one who will hold people accountable. You see, there are certain positions that people have where there is no one above them, right? In the sense that typically, you know, in different systems, there's a hierarchy. You have to report to someone. Someone is able to come and question you. Someone is able to come and tell you what you did is wrong. They can hold you responsible, right? Or there's a system to keep people accountable. But then there are certain situations where a person is at the top, right? There is no one who will come and hold them responsible. And one situation where this happens is, for instance, in the Quran, we learn in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 6, regarding the property of the orphans, right? That if there is an orphan child in your care and you are taking care of the orphan and you're also managing the property of the orphan, when the orphan grows up to be an adult and you see that they are able to manage their own wealth, then you have to return their property to them, right? And then at the end of the verse, it is said, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. And sufficient is Allah as hasib. And one of the interpretations, Ibn Kathir said, that what this means is وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ مُحَاسِبًا, that Allah is sufficient as hasib, meaning he will hold you accountable. That how did you manage the property of the orphan who was under your care? And did you actually return everything? Did you actually hand over everything to the orphan? Or did you hide certain things? Because when an orphan is supposed to be a child, right? And a child doesn't know what property he owns and what its worth is. He might not remember, right, the things that he inherited from his father. And you know that. And you may have hidden some things. You may have changed, the names of certain owners, etc. You may have not returned everything, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. This is a reminder that even when there is no one to question you, Allah will question you. So don't think you can do whatever that you can. Don't think that you have absolute authority. And sometimes we see this, in families where, certain people, because of their position in the family, right, they have such a hold over the entire family that they can do whatever they want. They can say whatever they want. And they can treat people. They can, abuse and exploit certain individuals however they want. And there is no one to question them, right? For example, if the man of the house, if the father, if the husband is abusing his wife, insulting her in front of his children, right? And there is no one to come and stop him, because who will? Right? Who will? No, nobody else in that house, in that family, is able to come and challenge the father, right? And who is it that they complain to? Do they complain to his brother? Well, what if he doesn't have a brother? And what if, all of his siblings are also afraid of him? And what if, there is no one else who can knock some sense into him? So in such a situation, people become blind in their power. So they become blinded by their power. So we must remember, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. There may not be any person who can hold me responsible, but Allah will hold me responsible. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. And sometimes what happens is that we live a double life, where to the outside world, we come across as someone who is, very religious and very, someone who's very active in the community. But in the house, in the family, there's abuse that we are committing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 284, that لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That to Allah belongs whatever that is in the skies and whatever that is in the earth. And if you reveal what is in yourselves, meaning your secrets, if you expose them to people, or you don't, you conceal them, Allah is able to hold you accountable. يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. And then it is up to Him. He can forgive you or He can punish. And Allah is able to do all things. So have fear of Allah. And also we learn in hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that there is no one among you except that Allah will speak to him on the Day of Judgment. And there will be no interpreter, any no third individual there to interpret. Allah will directly speak to you. And then the person will look ahead of him and he will see nothing. And he will see directly in front of him and he will see the fire. So this is a warning that you will be held accountable. Allah will question you. And so the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever is able to save himself from the fire, he must do so, even if it is with a piece of a date. بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. And if that is all you can give in charity, give that, but save yourself from the fire, because Allah will hold you accountable. And we learn that salah is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about. And we learn in hadith about how if salah is good, yani if a person passes their salah test, right, then everything will be fine. And if salah is not good, then everything will be will not matter. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hasib, the one who takes hisab, remember that hasib also means that he is enough in and of himself. Because remember that it also means sufficiency, right? Has means sufficiency. So al-hasib meaning he is al-kafi. Right, he is sufficient in and of himself, which means that he is ذو حسب, right, in the sense that he is al-kareem, he is noble, he is al-rafir, he is exalted, he is perfect, right, meaning that he is independent of all. We depend on things, we depend on external things for dignity and status. Right, and our status, our respect, depends on certain things, and it is affected by certain things, right? Which is why people get so afraid, and if someone falsely accuses them of something, they will take them to court because you're damaging my reputation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hasib, meaning He is perfect in and of himself. He is independent of all. So no one can bring him benefit and no one can cause him any loss. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hasib, this also means that he is sufficient, meaning he is sufficient for his slaves. And this means that the slaves, the people, cannot be independent of Allah. Right, he is enough for us means that if we have him, then we're fine. And if we don't have him, then we're in trouble. So when Allah is hasib, this means that there is no independence from Allah. And nothing at all can be substitute for Allah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for his slaves, remember that this is in two ways. First of all, he is sufficient for his slaves, yani for all of them. So they exist because he created them. They live because he provides for them, right? But then there is a special way in which Allah is sufficient for who? For those who believe in him and those who rely upon him and those who seek his help and those who are conscious of him. First and foremost in this category are the prophets of Allah. So in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah 39, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ, those individuals who convey the messages of Allah. And these are the prophets of Allah. وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ, and they fear Allah. Because when you're conveying the message of Allah, you know that people are not necessarily going to accept it. They're going to have a hard time even listening to it. But the fear of people does not prevent them from speaking the truth. They fear him. وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and they don't fear anyone except for Allah. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا, and Allah is sufficient as حَسِيب, meaning as sufficer. So he will suffice them. He will protect them. He will be enough for them. We learn in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 64, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ حَسْبُكَ اللَّهِ, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hasbukallah, Allah is enough for you. Allah is enough to protect you, to guide you, to save you. وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and Allah is also enough for who? For those who follow you among the believers. In Surah Az-Zumar, ayah 36, we learn, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا, is Allah not sufficient for his slave? Of course Allah is sufficient for his slave. And it's because of this reason that the companions, at a time of great danger, their hearts were filled with confidence. We learn that right after the Battle of Uhud, when the companions were wounded, they were injured, and they were really sad. At that time, they received news about how their enemy might be coming back in order to attack them. And so, They gathered up together, they responded to the call of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they went to pursue the enemy. In that state of hurt and physical exhaustion, and they said, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, Allah is enough for us. Hasbunallah, Allah is enough for us. And when they said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about how they came back with the blessing of Allah. And they came back home completely safe. لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ, and they pursued the great favor of Allah. So they won, right? And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said about how حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ, is a statement that Ibrahim alayhi salam said when he was thrown into the fire by his people, right? Imagine, his own father was of those people who threw him into the fire. His entire nation, right? Everyone decided to catapult him into the fire. Allahu Akbar. And he said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is enough for me. And the companions also said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. So we should also say this when we are afraid, when we are worried, when we are feeling anxious. This is like an affirmation, right? This is telling yourself that you're not alone, that you have Allah. And Allah, if someone has the help of Allah, then Allah is sufficient for him. And we learn in Surah At-Talaq, verse number 3, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, whoever puts his trust in Allah, then Allah is حَسْبُهُ, Allah is sufficient for him, enough for him. And you see, sometimes people are, planning behind your back in order to harm you, in order to betray you. And you may be able to defend yourself from danger that is visible to you. How on earth are you supposed to defend yourself against those who plot in secret to harm you, right? Against dangers that are not visible to you, that you don't even know about. So in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 62, we learn, وَإِن يُرِيدُوا أَن يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهُ. If these people whom you've made a treaty with, a treaty of peace with, if they intend to deceive you, that on the surface they're making a peace agreement with you, but then because you're not preparing for war, they're going to come and attack you. The intention here is to deceive you. Then remember, فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهُ. Allah is enough for you. Allah will be sufficient for you. هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ. It is He who helped you, who assisted you. وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And who assisted you through the believers. So help comes from Allah. So وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Sufficient is Allah as Hasib. And then when Allah is Hasib, this also means that He gives what is sufficient. He gives what is sufficient. Because remember, Allah has calculated everything. He knows everything. الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ. Even the sun and the moon, right? They run their course according to a precise calculation. The night and the day, the difference in the, you know, in the changing seasons, the months, etc. All of this is according to a certain calculation. So everything is accounted for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives what is sufficient. He watches over you and He is more aware of your needs than you are. So put your trust in Allah al-Hasib. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hasib, what is it that we should do? How can we worship Allah through this name? Well, there are so many beautiful ways. The first thing is that we must believe that Allah is Hasib. We must realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough. That huwa al-kafi li'ibadihi, He is sufficient for His slaves. And this means that we remind ourselves that I can never be independent of Allah. There can never be a moment in my life where I think I don't need Allah. I don't need to think about Him. I don't need to care about, you know, what He likes for me, what He does not want for me. There is never a moment when we can think that I can do without Allah. I can live without Allah. I can survive without Allah. That's not possible. So we must remember this fact. And remember that Allah is Hasib, right? He gives what is sufficient, and He is sufficient for His slaves. Because sometimes, you know, when we hear about tragedy or loss, for example, we hear about, you know, a young mother passing away. Immediately, our hearts are filled with compassion for the little children, right? That we think that, oh, those her children were so little. They need their mother, and the mother has passed away. So remember that Allah is still Hasib. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Allah is sufficient, right? And if you notice, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا, this is mentioned in the verse which is about orphans, right? That Allah is sufficient for them. Of course, that loss is very painful. But remember that those children are not neglected and abandoned. Allah is there, and Allah is more merciful to them than their mother could be. He is the one who gave them the mother in the first place. He is the one who put mercy and love in the heart of that mother in the first place. And if that means is gone now, Allah Hasib is still there. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hasib, let us not be proud of, you know, our status or our hasab, our lineage, whatever place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, whatever worth we have in society, whether that worth is assessed by, you know, our fame or our money or, you know, the things that we own, the influence that we have, let us not be deceived by that. Because in hadith, we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ أَبْطَأَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. The person who is made slow by his actions will not be speeded by his genealogy. Yeah, that the person who is, excuse me, the person who is made slow by his actions will not be speeded by his genealogy. And that means that if a person's, excuse me, sorry about that. Sorry, I'll just repeat the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Waman abta'a bihi 'amalu lam yusri' bihi nasabu." That a person whose actions are slowing him down, then his lineage is not going to cause him to get ahead. All right? Meaning that just because you have a certain place in society, just because you have a certain worth near people, that they look up to you because you are very beautiful, they look up to you because you're very famous, they look up to you because you are from a very important family, they look up to you because you are very rich, right? Or that you are a graduate of a very famous school, or that you hold a very fancy position, you have a very fancy title, you drive a super fancy car, right? Whatever it is that you have, right, that's not going to take you forward on the Day of Judgment. What's going to take you forward on the Day of Judgment is actually your deeds. So the hasab, the worth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you through material things, don't be dependent on those, and don't be arrogant about that. And if you ever feel arrogant about that, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is hasib, who is truly worthy of of the highest status, because he is Ilah, he is the Khaliq, and he is the one who is perfect, and we are not. We learn about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of the wife of Nuh alayhi salam and the wife of Lut alayhi salam, that both of these women, they were married to prophets of Allah, but their marriage did not save them. Why? Because they themselves did not believe. They themselves did not do what was required. So your status is not going to save you. It's your iman and your effort that is required. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hasib, we must also hold ourselves accountable, because there is no escape from hisab. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us that he will hold us accountable. And while we hope that we are of those people who are not held accountable for our deeds, well, what if we are held accountable for our deeds? So don't just, have this, assumption. Have good expectation of Allah that he will, do hisab and yasira for you. But because of that, don't think that you can do whatever you want. Be disciplined and be honest with yourself, right? Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. That hold yourself accountable before you are brought to account. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the ayah fasawfa yuhasabu hisaban yasira, that there will be an easy hisab for someone. Right, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that this is just ard. This is just people, their deeds being displayed, right? Them being brought before Allah. But the person who is nuqisha, the person who will be interrogated, that why did you do this, and how come you did that? The person who is interrogated on his account, yahlik. That person is ruined. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And remember that now, while we are alive, is the time to work without account. And right now, we can do whatever that we want. There's no limit. And tomorrow, after we die, is only account without work. Ali radiallahu anhu said something like this. He said, فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ. Today, there is only amal. You can work all you want, and there is no account, right? وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ. And tomorrow, it is only hisab, only accounting, and no work. Tomorrow, you will not be able to do anything. So do what you can right now. Don't just form an assumption about yourself that, I'm forgiven. I'm a good person. I'm a righteous woman, I'm a righteous man, so I'm fine. No, don't just make this judgment about yourself that, because I memorize the Quran, I'm fine. Because I pray five times a day, I'm okay. Because I wear the hijab, I'm okay. No, don't form these judgments about yourself. Right now, focus on work, on amal. And there is no limit to what you can do. So do whatever that is within your capacity and keep increasing in your deeds, in your good deeds. And also be conscious about your shortcomings. Be aware of them, recognize them, acknowledge them, and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those mistakes. Don't turn a blind eye to your own errors, right? Just as we are very particular about, you know, a scratch in our phone, we're so finicky that the phone should not be scratched, right? Some people are so particular about their house that everything should be in perfect order. Everything should be, you know, should be looking perfectly clean, right? All the time, beautiful, arranged, right? We're so particular about these things. We must also be particular about our actions. Take responsibility and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was once seen holding his tongue. And it was visible that he was very upset with his own tongue. And Umar radiallahu anhu asked him that, what are you doing? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said that this is something that takes me towards destruction. My own tongue is something that drives me towards my own ruin. Right? And he realized how he would fall into error because of his own tongue. And we must also realize that it is our own words, right? The things that we say with our own mouths that lead us towards towards trouble. And this also means that we should not undermine any good deed, right? Because when Allah is Hasib, you don't know for which deed, you may be punished or you may be rewarded. So do not undermine any deed. We learn about a man who was called to account, and it was found that the only good deed he had done was that he was easy in his business dealings with people. So he used to instruct his servants to be easy with people who were in difficulty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we are more entitled to do that than he is. So forgive him. Tajawazu anhu. Pardon all of his misdeeds. So you don't know which deed will save you. Then when Allah is Hasib, we should also... our part, our job is that we should refrain from constantly judging people. Allah is the one who will hold them accountable, right? That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, role to play. Our job is not to judge people all the time. We learn in Surah Ar-Ra'd, Ayah 40, that فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. Your job is to convey, and it is our duty to hold people accountable. Hisab is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. All right? He has the right to do that. This is not our place. And sometimes what we do is we keep counting the number of errors that people are making. We keep counting the words that they are saying. You said this to me yesterday in the morning, and then in the evening you said this, and then later you said that, and then after that you said that, and screenshot of this and screenshot of that, and a proof of this and a proof of that. We have not been appointed as managers over people, as individuals to hold people accountable. This is not our part, right? Learn to forgive, learn to pardon, and overlook the mistakes of people. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Yes, you should remind people, right? However, لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرْ. You have not been appointed as a manager over them. And deal with people on their apparent. Even if someone lies to your face, and this happens sometimes, your own children lie to you, right? You ask them, did you make wudu? They say no. And then you go and check the sink. Is it even wet? Is there any water in there? Right. And then you check their, you keep touching their clothes and their arms and their face and their hair and inside their ear to make sure that they actually made wudu. And if the child is saying he did make wudu, then just accept that. Even if you have a strong feeling that he's lying, we have been told, La tajassasu wa la tahassasu. Do not spy on people, do not eavesdrop, do not pry into their personal affairs. The Prophet ﷺ warned us. He said, I have not been ordered by Allah to search the hearts of people or to cut open their bellies. I have not been ordered to do that, that I look into what is really in the hearts of people, that I cut open their bellies and see what is it that they ate. No, this is not my job. And the Prophet ﷺ said that if you search for the faults of the people, you will corrupt them. You will corrupt them. Because that barrier of, you know, haya that exists between you and another person, even your own child, when you insult them and you say, no, you're lying to me. I know you're cheating, right? I know you did this. I know you did that. When you remove that veil of haya, of dignity, then you are basically giving them the license to, the permission to continue with their mistakes, right? Because now they know that you know, right? They know that you know. And they know that, you know, you can't do anything about it. Or you only have limited power. Like, what are you going to do? Can you really force them? You cannot. So sometimes you know that your own child is doing something wrong. But if you pursue their faults, then remember the warning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will corrupt them, or you will nearly corrupt them. And the thing is that when you pursue the faults of people, you automatically put them on the defensive. When you put them on the defensive, people will try to do anything to protect their dignity. And sometimes that means they will also lie. And sometimes it means that they will also cheat you more. They will start hiding from you even more. So protect them by not investigating their faults all the time. And when Allah is Hasib, we should also perform the deeds that lead to paradise without account. We learn in the hadith about how 70,000 people of this ummah will be admitted into paradise without any hisab. And of their characteristics is that they don't believe in evil omen, right? And they do not, brand their bodies with fire, right? This was a way of treatment that people would use. And they do not use ruqya, which is shirki, right? Which contains words of shirk. And they put their trust only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith, we learned that about how this number is not just limited to 70,000. There is one group that will enter like that, and then more groups as well that will enter paradise without hisab. In another hadith, we learn about a man, about a slave, all right, a slave, mamluk, meaning someone who is owned by another, doesn't have much liberty. But when he gives the haqq of Allah, when he gives the right of Allah, and he gives the right of his mawali, right, of his people, and he is honest with them. He does what is asked of him. Then he will enter paradise, la hisab alayhi, without any hisab. So sometimes really, you know, your position is such that you don't have much authority, you don't have much control. But you honestly do your part. You honestly do whatever that is within your capacity. And you make sure that you do your salah. You make sure that you are dutiful to Allah. So you do your best, right? And then we also learn about that woman who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she had a certain disease, and she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that please make dua for me that I am cured. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In shi'ti da'utullah, if you want, I will make dua to Allah for you to cure you. Wa in shi'ti fasbiri, and if you want, you can be patient, wala hisab alayki, and you will not be held accountable for your deeds." And that woman said, "Bal asbiru, I will be patient, wala hisab alayya, and I don't want that I should be held accountable for my deeds." So, you know, there are certain health conditions that get prolonged. Right, year after year goes by, and you look back and you realize it's been 15 years since I have been suffering with this condition. And it is difficult, extremely difficult to live with such impairment, right, or such pain in your body. And it could be of different types. But we see from this hadith that if a person is patient, patience does not mean you're not doing anything to help yourself. Like, you're not taking medication. Of course, you take medication. You do whatever that is within your capacity to comfort yourself. But you are patient over the decree of Allah. That, ya Allah, this is what you have. This is what you are testing me with, and I accept it. And I'm not displeased with you. I am not upset with you, and I am not angry. And I accept this as your decree. And you are patient over it. And you are patient over the difficulties that you're facing because of that condition, right? Like, for example, if a person has a, has a condition where, for instance, their foot is constantly swollen, their leg is constantly swollen, and they don't know what's going on, and no doctor is able to figure out what's happening, right? And you are patient over it. And years go by, 20 years go by, 25 years go by. You are not able to walk much. You're not able to, go to a park. You're not able to walk on a beach. You're not able to hike on a mountain. You're not able to go skiing. You're not able to, have fun with your family. When you go, you're just sitting on one side. We see people with such conditions. Sometimes we are the ones who are experiencing such conditions. But what do we learn from this? That this woman said, "Bal asbiru, I will be patient. Wala hisab alayya, and I don't want any hisab." Right? That, ya Allah, because I'm being patient, I accept this as your decree. You please don't hold me accountable for my errors and my mistakes. Ameen. Now, finally, how can we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this beautiful name? There are so many different ways. First of all, when Allah is Hasib and He is sufficient for us, then we should express our reliance upon Him by saying, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Just as Ibrahim alayhi salam said that, and the companion said that, we should also say this when we are in any difficulty. We also learn in Surah At-Tawbah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told that if people turn away from you, then you should say, Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. That sufficient is Allah for me, and there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. On Him I put my trust, and He is the Lord of the great throne. In a narration, we learn about how we should say this 7 times in the morning and 7 times in the evening, but that narration is, it has some weakness in it. But besides, this is a statement that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to say. So there's no harm at all if we say this regularly as well. When we are feeling alone, when we are feeling abandoned by people, Hasbi Allah, Allah is enough for me. And also, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hasib, He will hold people accountable. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us on the day that He will take hisab. So the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Rabbana ghafir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Our Lord, forgive me and forgive my parents and forgive the believers on the day that yaqumul hisab, that the hisab will be taken. And we also learn another dua, which is reported in Musnad Ahmad. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-diqi yawm al-hisab. That, oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from the constriction, from the difficulty of the day of hisab. You see, when you are being questioned, interrogated, why did you do this? And why did you say that? And how come you did this? It's very, it's suffocating. And this is why we ask Allah that, Ya Allah, protect us from the suffocation of the day of hisab. And there is no escape, but it's so difficult to be put in a position where we're going to be questioned and interrogated. So, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. This dua also, that, oh Allah, give me an easy account. An easy account means that the deeds are simply displayed and that we are not interrogated. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and make this easy for us. Inshallah, I'll conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.